At the 8th Local Solutions to End Poverty, community members in Duluth asked our city council candidates, given that a black workforce is available, if elected, will you commit to creating opportunities for black entrepreneurship in the childcare industry? And given that climate change disproportionately affects low-income Duluthians, if elected, will you ensure that the fourth duty of the new Energy Plan Commission is realized? All of the candidates agree to uphold the demands, but will they follow through in the coming term? KUMD's Cameron Olson has the story.
Hello, my name is Autumn. I am currently a resident at the Young Mothers Program at the YWCA. I am 21 years old. I have two children. I have a 2-year-old and a 10-month-old. Something that I struggled with before was just being able to get to daycare and get to my high school in its own. Just being able to apply for childcare, it takes months in its own, and then finding a daycare that accepts your kids, and you basically need to apply for childcare before you even get pregnant. And something that is an awesome opportunity that you get at the YWCA is there is a daycare that is located right in the building. So being a mother there, you get first opportunity to enroll your children at the daycare that they have. Now that my kids are in childcare, I'm in my second year of college. I've had a job for since I've lived at the Y almost the whole time. If my kids weren't in childcare, I wouldn't be able to do any of those things because I am a single mom. I do it all by myself, and I'm not going to lie, it's not the simplest program out there, and it does help immensely. If I didn't have that, there was no way that I would be able to do any of the things that I am doing. So along with that, Duluth childcare options are few and mostly unaffordable for low-income working families. This problem is compounded by a lack of culturally sensitive services and underrepresentation of black owners and operators in the childcare industry. Given that a black workforce is available in Duluth, if elected, will you commit to creating opportunities for black entrepreneurship in the childcare industry?
So I am a full-on yes. Here is what I'm already doing about this. I would actually like to reprogram our 1200 fund, which is a private investment fund that we have as a city to allow for startups for childcare. So I'm actually already working towards that. We have elevated the role of our workforce director, and she has created a whole set of policies that is really targeted and focused on bringing people who are women, people of color, and people who are indigenous into entrepreneurship and workforce opportunities. There are a few ways that we can tackle this issue. There is no question for me that we need greater cultural competency and representation in this area, and there's a lot the city can do for that.
My name's Dave Nolley. Quite simply, the answer would be yes. The demographics and the needs related to childcare have changed significantly with each successive generation. Perhaps even a generation ago, there may have been two parents living together with one parent able to stay home with the children. That's less likely the scenario today. Most certainly, yes would support this.
Hello, I'm Janet Kennedy, District 5 City Council candidate, and that story resonates with me because that was me. And on top of that, I'm an African Heritage woman, and so it's really, really important that I counselor at this time, especially since we have so many programs, like a community benefits program with labor as far as getting women, people of color, and indigenous community members hired. So I want to move it a little bit further. Daycare, yes, we need to be sure we have people of color who are running those businesses as well, but also make sure there are other job opportunities. So we're moving in the right direction. I do want to thank Eric Forsman, Councillor Forsman, for moving forward the child care zoning, and I was glad to support that on the Planning Commission and look forward to doing that more.
My name is Teresa O'Halloran Johnson.
I was a student going back to school and received child care assistance and trying to find a provider who didn't look down on our family because we needed that support was a challenge. So I have walked in those shoes. I've also been a licensed child care provider. It's a hugely challenging job. So we need to support people who do this work. I support professionalizing it and recruiting people of color to do this work. I work with kids with intellectual disabilities. It's our biggest challenge to find direct support staff that are culturally responsive to folks. It's so critically important for child development. So yes, yes, yes.
Hi, my name is Roz Randorf.
Autumn, thanks for the story. It was October of 2002 when I walked out of St. Luke's Hospital with a son in my arms. I was a single mom. And so I understand the enormity of not only finding a daycare that you trust with the most precious person in your life, but doing that as a single parent. It's no small matter. And so absolutely, yes, I would support making sure there's inclusivity in our workforce to be able to create daycare affordable. And it's so important. It's so important. Thanks.
My name is Mike Mayo. I think we can make strides to raise wages, not just in the childcare industry, but all across the board for Duluthians. We can invest in public transportation. I know that was part of your story, talking about how you got to the childcare provider was very difficult. And so if we're expanding the reach of our public transportation system, making it more accessible for all, I think that's a big step there. And also working with our community partners, employer-based childcare, because working at the YWCA is great, and that's awesome that they offer that, but not everyone does currently, and really trying to help expand that throughout the city.
Noah Hobbs, I'm a Duluth City Councilor at large, but I think the only other thing to add to that is look at also around the clock. We have a lot of shift workers, maintenance workers in our hospitals, and nurses that work hours that are considered non-traditional, and that's something that keeps folks out of the workforce because they have absolutely zero shot at having a childcare in general because folks don't offer it at that time. So that's something else to look at.
I'm Eric Forsman. The question about entrepreneurship, one of the issues with the business model for daycares are the fixed costs. And so there are creative ideas like pod models where you can have multiple family daycares within one geographic area and they can share the fixed costs like the kitchen and everything else. But sometimes our state legislature, for good reasons, have limited the creativity that we can use in that space. And so that's where we need to work with our state legislators on how we can get those things through.
So we have one final expert coming up, and this question is from Claire Anderson, if she would come up. And the question is directed to the mayoral candidates only.
My name is Claire Anderson, and I'm a second-year student here. So I haven't spent a lot of time in the Duluth community, per se, maybe like a year and a half or so. But one of the big draws to Duluth was outdoors. But I didn't really get involved in the environmental activism scene until later this year. Through this, I was given a whole bunch of opportunities. This summer, I learned a lot about the intricacies of the Duluth environment. It's not a simple topic. There's a lot of gray area. So we know that we have a very short amount of time, and we know that a lot of people's futures are in jeopardy. But it's not just the young people's futures that we have to think about. We also have to talk about how it affects low-income communities as well. A lot of these plants affect communities of lower incomes and peoples of color. So, in her 2019 State of the City Address, Mayor Larson stated that climate change is pounding our city, and that we will rise or fall as a community. Given that climate change disproportionately affects low-income Duluthians, if elected, will you ensure that the fourth duty of the new Energy Plan Commission to promote community best practices and strategies for reducing greenhouse gases be realized and enforced?
Thank you, Claire, for your question. My answer is yes. This is an area I'm very passionate about. In fact, the Energy Plan Commission is something that we brought forward, I brought forward, and we have fulfilled membership on. When I took office as mayor, I made a very clear commitment that climate change is real and that we do align with the Paris Accord, although our federal government has abandoned that concept. So this is an easy yes for me. I know this plan back and forth. I'm very proud of the work that we're doing. We have started with light bulbs, and we have moved on exponentially from there to other key and core areas.
Thank you, Claire. Welcome to Duluth. I found myself moving here in 2010 to take a position as the director of the Boy Scouts of America. So absolutely, yes, we have to promote community best practices and strategies for reducing greenhouse gases. And very much concur and agree that those low-income individuals are disproportionately affected due to a variety of reasons because of their exposure to not only greenhouse gases, but all matters related to climate change and environmental health.
KUMD. The candidates who were elected to office last night, according to the City of Duluth website this morning, only 32% of registered voters did show up at the polls. There are just over 66,000 registered voters in the city, and just under 22,000 showed up at the polls. Mayor Emily Larson won re-election with over 63% of the vote. Eric Forsman and Noah Hobbs were elected to the city council with 25% and just over or almost 26% of the vote. Gary Anderson was re-elected for City of Duluth District 1. Roz Randorf was elected with almost 55% of the vote in District 3. Janet Kennedy became the first woman of color or African-American woman to sit on the Duluth City Council. She was elected with 52% of the vote in District 5. The school board member election, Alana Oswald won the school board member at large race with almost 55% of the vote. In District 2, David Kirby won 66% of the vote there. And in District 3, Paul Sandholm won that race with almost 54% of the vote.